Welcome. Today I have the great honor of doing another interview with Ms. Jane Pilot. She is the President of Pilot Performance Resources Management, Incorporated, Vice President of the Canada-Pakistan Business Council, and author of Driving Sustainability, Business Success, The DS Factor, and ISO 9001 Guide to Implement and Integrate Quality Management Systems. Jane, I'd like to start off by taking this opportunity to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to do a second interview with me. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you so much.
Jane, as an expert in environmental issues, you are passionate about your role in serving a necessary function in solving issues related to waste management. Can you please begin by telling us more about your petition for healthcare waste diversion from landfill?
Well, first I'd like to start off by saying managing and controlling waste is crucial for our health, and our health matters. I have been involved in waste management for over 30-plus years, having set up medical waste disposal in Canada in the late 80s, early 90s. And have been involved in waste management committees since 93, sitting as chair of government committees, public liaison committee, and overseeing a certificate of approval for an energy from waste facility. The area of healthcare waste is important as it can cause the spread of disease. We humans produce large amounts of waste, which we don't stop to think about. It is out of sight, out of mind. There has been a growing consciousness of a healthy environment, and granted, we do have reuse and recycling initiatives. Many people today are involved with recycling of clothing, cardboard, plastic, wood, metal, as we have organizations that are, you know, collecting these items, and we have the Blue Box program. But now our sights are on climate change. These are great projects to help, and people need to be a part of the solution instead of being part of the problem. Healthcare waste from hospitals, funeral homes, labs, care homes, and waste from patients in the homes is not something we think about unless we have family or friends in the healthcare environment itself. People assume that waste from medical facilities is being burned, destroying their pathogens. I have spoken to many people, and they all think that this waste is being burned. But this is not true in North America. In Europe, they do use incineration. In North America, we tend to have healthcare waste being disposed of in landfills. Last year, I did a white paper on healthcare waste diversion and destruction, looking at the status of how healthcare waste was being managed now. I mean, I was involved in the early 90s, so I expected to see that there would be a lot of changes. I was shocked at what I found. This resulted in me doing a video on YouTube entitled Healthcare Waste Diversion from Landfill and Total Destruction, which I understand you're going to post a link to on the NATO site, which I really appreciate.
Absolutely. And Jane, in terms of the petition, can you provide our listeners with more information pertaining to an update as to how the petition is going? In addition, what can our listeners do in order to make a difference?
Well, they need to, I think, first look at the video to understand what I am talking about related to healthcare waste. And then that video is a link where they can sign the petition. This petition will go to our government on a federal level and a provincial level so that the government will be required to look at changes tied with regulations. Before I get into that, though, I'd like to give some kind of a brief overview about healthcare waste so that the listener can understand what we're speaking about.
Absolutely.
Because healthcare waste contains potentially harmful microorganisms which can infect not just patients, but it's a risk to the public. It's a risk to our health. And I'm going to try and explain why. We have in Canada, our population has been aging and we have chronic diseases are rising and the need for disease management is key. This is being reported by the Conference Board of Canada in their report, Health Matters, an Economic Perspective. And there has been many news stories tied with infectious diseases and the fact that we are in an epidemic. One in every 25 patients has an infection. And this is according to the report by the National Center for Emerging and Zoonotic Infectious Diseases. We're facing an epidemic of chronic diseases. People are hearing every day the Zika virus, the West Nile virus, Ebola, flesh-eating diseases, staph infection. And CTV News did an article over a year ago entitled The 10 Pathogens That Cause the Most Health Problems, which has devastating effects on the lives of Ontarians. The Ontario Agency for Health Protection and Promotion reported nearly 5,000 Ontarians die every year from infectious diseases. So infectious diseases is a never-ending threat. And the public and the Chief Public Health Officer reported on the state of public health in Canada in 2013 shows that staph infection increased 1,000%. 1,000%. This is unbelievable between 1995 and 2009.
Wow.
It's amazing. Our provincial governments, the Ministry of Environment and Climate Change, they're the ones who regulate biomedical waste, which includes sharps, needles, scalpels, blades, human and animal waste, blood and body fluids, cytotoxic waste. These are cancer-causing drugs. But having set up biomedical waste in Canada in the early 90s with Browning Ferris Industries, I was surprised when I read these stats. And these stats come from the Green Hospital Scorecard. This is a benchmarking and recognition program reflecting hospitals' environmental performance. This is not mine. This is coming from the Green Hospital Scorecard 2013. Reporting data that the average composition of Ontario hospital facilities, that their hospital waste is only 7% biomedical. Well,
wow.
7% coming from a hospital that has 1 in 25 patients that has an infection. 34% of the waste from a hospital is recycled, reused, or even compost. So the rest of 59%, which they say is non-hazardous, and I do not believe that, goes to landfill. 59%. The Public Health Ontario has been doing excellent work in providing scientific advice and support in infectious disease prevention and control. But the area of cleaning and disposing of blood, body fluids, is one I would really question. In one of their online videos about cleaning blood and body fluids, they advise to dispose of material by placing them into regular waste receptacles. If soil materials are so wet that blood can be squeezed out of them, then they must be disposed of in the biomedical. So here they still have blood on it. They still have, the urine and the feces that the pathogens can live off of, but put it into regular waste, and then it goes to landfill. And I have a question here. How does a nurse or a cleaner disposing of waste from a patient know if it's infectious waste or not when they put it in the black garbage bag for disposal?
There's no way.
No way. They don't test every piece of material.
Right.
And this waste that they're putting in is incontinence, diapers, disposable bed liners that can have you know, blood and fluid, feces, paper towels, Kleenex, absorbent materials containing these materials, and this is going to landfill. When you place this waste into a black garbage bag, you have created the ideal environment for pathogens to multiply. They have the warmth, they have the darkness, they have the moisture and the food, and the diaper keeps them alive longer. Landfills attract birds, wildlife, mosquitoes, insects, which introduces a risk of reintroducing these microorganisms into the food chain and the spread of disease tied with health care waste. As I mentioned, we are seeing an increase in viruses. Zika, West Nile, Ebola, flesh eating. I mean, this is now out of hand. And when the risk from the Ebola, this was another thing that shocked me, came out in April 2015 in Ontario, the Chief Medical Officer of Health issued a Directive 4 regarding waste management. So hospitals were notified in the Toronto area, but what about waste management companies or funeral homes and other municipal governments who are responsible for waste? When I inquired into these areas, no one knew of the directive. Communication and handling this risk is lacking and needs to be addressed before an emergency situation occurs. What would we do when we, our ministries of the environment and health, do not speak to each other and coordinate this? This needs to be done. The more I talk to people, the public, they are flabbergasted that waste from hospitals and healthcare facilities are going to landfill. Funeral homes are still putting blood and embalming fluids into our sanitary sewers. Patients are no longer staying in hospitals. They're treated and recovering at home. So a patient's waste that was classified as medical waste in a hospital is now municipal garbage. Many cities and regional governments have allowed diapers, incontinence products to be included as compost. What they fail to consider is that AIDS and hepatitis patients, as an example, use these incontinence products in their homes. Would you want this type of waste in your compost?
Absolutely not, Jane. I need to mention that with the work that you've done, you've made a significant impact by educating people about the significance of sustainability. And you're the author of two books. The first one is Driving Sustainability, Business Success, The DS Factor. And the second book is ISO 9001, Guide to Implement and Integrate Quality Management Systems. So to all of our listeners today, I encourage each and every one of you to buy Jane's book. If you have any questions, I will include Jane's email.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
And I need to mention that as district manager in Canada, Jane, you were responsible for setting up medical waste disposal for Browning Ferrous Industries, receiving President's Award for development of a number of international firsts, including medical waste disposal, the diabetic depot system, pharmaceutical waste disposal, and international waste disposal. For all of our listeners today, can you please discuss the impact that your work has had on the community as a whole?
Well, beginning with the setup of medical waste disposal, I had the opportunity of setting up the diabetic depot system, which was the first in the world. And how I actually set that up was, here I was dealing with, you know, needles from hospitals, and my son Joel, he being diabetic, was taught that he should, you know, break his needles and wrap them in toilet paper and put them in the garbage. So I said to myself, well, I have to be accountable for what I am doing with my son at home, and I looked at a solution for the diabetic depot system. When you receive the needles, you get them from the pharmacy. So I thought, if I bring my son's needles from the pharmacy, I can bring back the old needles back to the pharmacy. So that's when I set up the diabetic depot system. And we had support from all the pharmacies in British Columbia, and then I got moved to Ontario, and we set it up here too. The problem is that some people know where to take their needles and other people don't. And part of the problem is there's no standardization in Canada for the disposal of the needles. It has to be consistent so that people know where to dispose of these items.